Final half hour of Friday night, time for album reviews. And in the mix this evening, American alternative guitar gods, I'm told. Pixies were formed in 1986 and their reputation has only increased with the passing decades. Their latest album is called Beneath the Eyrie. Charlotte Aitchison is an English singer-songwriter, professionally known as Charlie XCX. She's released her third album, which is called Charlie. And finally, Scottish seven-piece Belle and Sebastian, celebrating 25 years of making music, have provided the soundtrack to a movie called Days of the Bagnold Summer. Jackie Fox, John Maher have been listening to all three. They're with me in studio now. We're going to start with the Pixies, and let's start with the track called On Graveyard Hill. On Graveyard Hill, one of the tracks, second track, in fact, on Pixies' new album, which is called Beneath the Eyrie. I suppose you hear Pixies, you think, everybody knows who Pixies are, but they've been around for quite a while. I think Olin McGann, who's the producer tonight, is possibly a fan of this band because he referred to them as guitar gods in my script tonight. And he also asks, wants you to ask the question, tell us why you should familiarise yourself with them immediately, which I think is a loaded question.
Is that kind of their history in one sentence, basically? Well, you know, it's 1986 when the Pixies were formed, and they have definitely cemented their place in history anyways, influencing alternative rock bands in the late 80s even and the early 90s. But they even had a turbulent journey themselves with breakups and makeups, disbanding only in 1993, rekindling their relationships then in 2004. But bassist Kim Deal, that legendary bassist, later leaving in 2013, and now we have her replaced by Paz, who completes the lineup.
Paz Hood, you're not getting away with that. Paz Hood.
L'Enchantine, yeah, she's from Paz. Argentina, yeah, so okay. My Spanish is a little bit rusty. But nobody really expected an album called Indie City from them in 2014. And it kind of made fans question what route they were going down. But 3 years ago, I was here, September 3 years ago, reviewing their latest album before this one, Head Carrier. Yeah. And it definitely stepped up their game for a new exciting time of the Pixies.
Guitar gods, John, do you agree?
I love Pixies, or certainly loved Pixies, past tense. I mean, Doolittle is 30 years old this year and it is a masterpiece of alternative rock, as Jackie said, hugely influential. I mean, a band like The Frames, for instance, that outwardly don't really sound like Pixies, would have been massively inspired. Certainly that quiet, loud dynamic that they were pushing for a long time. This, a bit like Head Carrier, the last album, this has been produced by Tom Delgatti, same producer, same personnel. Paz, formerly of Zwan, Billy Corgan's band, so she's got some fine experience when it comes to working with Black Francis. And, I mean, It's unmistakably Pixies.
And particularly that track that we just heard.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like old style Pixies.
It really is. I mean, one, you could not imagine that it's any other band but Pixies.
Is that a good thing?
I think it is a good thing when they're on fire, and on a chunk of this album, you know, it's working really, really well.
Right, so
and
the
there are good songs. For the most part, they are.
And titles like On Graveyard Hill there, and even the one I'm about to play, This Is My Fate, there's something fatalistic about all of those titles, and even the title of the album, but it has a very simple reason. In some ways.
I think a lot of people are attracted to the Pixies because they do have this otherworldly kind of gaze about them. And, you know, there is that theme within this album. It's all kind of folk heroes of Daniel Boone and creepy folklore stories. It's like Black Francis, you know, he is gathered people around this campfire. And you know, as you were saying, the name of the album,
Beneath the Eyrie.
Yeah, they were recording it in New York, and while taking a break outside the studio, the drummer, David Lovering, he spotted an eagle's nest right above the studio in a tree, and that's how they came from.
Great. The studio should be called Beneath the Eyrie. They should change the name immediately.
Well, it's funny because I interviewed Black Francis a couple of weeks ago, and it was a very, very awkward interview. But I said, what's the story with the album title? And he says, our drummer called it that because of the eagle above the studio. I will stop the American accent now. But he said it was a stupid title.
Really?
And then he says a month later, the producer said, will we call it Beneath the Iron? He says, yeah, he came around to it. So, yeah, it was the first that wasn't named after a snatched lyric or a line or a word in a Pixie song.
Let's have a listen to another song on the album. This is called This Is My Fate. Flavour there of This Is My Fate from Pixie's new album Beneath the Air. It sounds to me like a Halloween song that you might teach to children in some ways. They're kind of just on the edge there.
They're just really on the edge. They do have these dramatic vocals that we heard there and a unique style, almost theatrics, like they're performing to this circus. It's very dark, it's very Halloweening, even kind of a comical menace, and they're on the edge and they just take it a little smidge.
Do they stay the right side of the line?
At times, yes. At other times, no. Like in Silver Bullet, with the sound effects and that comical nature attached to it, it moves a little bit too much into theatrics.
It becomes like pastiche.
It does. But listen...
Novelty song.
Yeah, I think in this album, the Pixies, they have found their focus. They feel comfortable. They feel invigorated. And you can hear that devotion in the music at times.
Yeah, I'd agree with that to a degree. But I think there are moments that are very skippable, I have to say. That track being one of them.
Yeah.
And yet the flip side of that is a song like Catfish Kate that is very, very good. And
sounds like some kind of
it's really dark
folk hero kind of, as well, doesn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and like well, and also there's a bunch of songs about surfing and about fatalities and about the menace of the sea, long riders and lost surfers, Muertos, and they're really compelling and remind you of how good this band can be.
All right, now you both love this, right? I've caught it. I heard you. Stars.
I'd say I love a chunk of it and dislike some of it. Yeah. 3.5, I think, for me. It isn't up there with their best work, I'll be honest.
All right, but it's pretty good nevertheless, I think, is what you say. I hope not putting words in your mouth, Jackie.
I think there's a lot of moments in here that I'm really craving to see live and to sing back those lyrics, so I'm going to give it a 4.
And they're here in Dublin
September,
in a couple of weeks.
September
26th in the Olympia.
Okay, and what did you say, stars-wise, Jackie?
4.
All right, so 3.5 and 4. They should be happy with that. Let's move on to Charlie XCX. Charlie 19, I'm presuming that is. What's the 19 a reference to? don't both look at me with blank faces. Was she 19 when she started or something?
Yeah,
like that,
so
maybe?
She kind of grew up in the age where social media was just coming a thing. I don't know if anybody remembers MySpace, where the likes of herself, Calvin Harris, were uploading songs onto this social media platform. And that's how she got noticed.
As a teenager.
As a teenager, because
really
she's only around 27.
She's only 27.
Now. And if we imagine MySpace, that was flourishing back in 2004, 2005, you know, that's 15 years ago at this stage.
I think my Roman counting might be a bit off too. And getting
I think
that
means 50 or 100.
100
or like
100, let's not try to... I thought it was 19 of 1900 was what I was thinking. Let's move on from it. It's XCX is the name she has. We don't know. 10, 110 is what it actually...
We just deal with the music here.
Okay.
But you know, that's where she was discovered on MySpace at a very young age and started playing these raves and house parties. But it was the power of collaboration that really elevated her later on in her career as an artist. And she broke out with that Icona Pop collaboration, I Love It, and later with Fancy with Iggy Azalea. But she was able to put her own stamp on things, kind of the anti-pop star in a way, and going a little bit left of field than your classic pop star with that massive hit Boys. But this might surprise people, this is only her third album, which takes a deeper and darker twist.
All right, let's listen to a track called Gone.
I say
one track there from Charlie XCX and her new album, which is called Charlie, simply. What's she singing about on this album, John? What is she and a lot of other people, what are they singing about on this album?
Yeah, because that's key. It's not just her. Yeah. This very much is an album made by committee.
Because, in fact, Christine and Queens were involved in that track we just
heard. That's right. Yeah. And you can hear the unmistakable sound of Christine there. And just as a side note, when Charlie XCX played Electric Picnic a couple of weeks ago, her special guest, much to the joy of the assembled hordes, was Christine and the Queens, which was great. She's singing, I suppose, about modern life and what it is to be a woman in her 20s in this fraught and strange time and wonderful time as well. And there's a little bit of heartache there. There's a lot of confidence. There's some vulnerability too. It's a lot of the advanced material suggests that it's a very personal album. Not sure how much of that I sensed, to be honest. A lot of the lyrics seem, you know, quite generalised and could apply in many situations.
Yeah, but the track here called 1999, which is a very definite hark back to
that year, 1999.
I've seen, given my history with Roman numerals, I'm not going to try to work out what age she was in 1999.
I think so, that these life experiences, they're not easily kind of dissected, because Charlie XCX, she's a woman that oozes confidence, and you can hear that confidence in the songs through these kind of pop powerhouses. But behind it all are those insecurities and those life experiences. I mean, she talks about overworking, drug taking, partying, that unhealthy, hectic lifestyle that possibly comes with the price of fame, and you know, the toll that takes on her life and her relationships, and chasing those former good times, and maybe dismantling, you know, classic beauty ideals that, you know, she might face criticism on a daily basis through social media. And it's something that she's talked about on Instagram again, even only a couple of weeks ago. She had this really long post about saying sometimes that she just wants to quit everything. I do agree, though, that, you know, there are toxic relationships in there, and, you know, at times, toxic times in her career. But I do think that is fully yet to be unleashed. She's only tapping into it right now.
And it does feel, I mean, I suppose one of the great tricks in music is when you are three albums into your career, to call it after yourself is an indication of rebirth or an attempted rebirth.
Yeah. Alyssa, you mentioned there the whole thing of the paparazzi and all the rest of it, and the click here in this track, I think, is referring to that in some ways, but I don't know if she's got a few other things in her mind as well.
Pull up and we dripping in gold. The king of my click when I roll. Hit Kim cause she cute on my phone. Hit Tommy, he know how to fold. We fly off as customers go. I'm zooming my wear on the globe. Don't care about the records you sold. Cause sign if you date it alone. I'm so 2020 with my vision, 2020 with precision, I'm so legit. I'm so 2021, I wanna go pop out, goddamn hits. Click the research, get the camera, click it on, baby, come on, watch me dip.
Now, my innocent ears can pick up a few double entendres in the midst of all of that, John, yes. Even my innocent ears, yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly a streetwise vibe to that song and to a lot of the material on this. And the production is extremely smart. It's very contemporary, and it's, she kind of wraps things there and does it well. It has to be said.
You know? Yeah, there's another track, actually, where there's like a bundle of them, and you think, how could that sound like a single person? Is it Shake It was the track?
Yeah, that's another sequel. You know, we had a collaboration on here with Troy Seven, you know, 1999, and then another one, 2099, set 100 years later. But this is actually another sequel to a collaboration she previously did two years ago, I think it was. You know, it's a warped chaos that even, you know, features three female rappers and a drag queen. But with this album and Charlie XCX, you know, she could have easily gone down a predictable pop album that would have done really, really well. But here she's being quite unpredictable,
think,
and she's taking some risks, and she's blending those music and genres together.
Stars from you, Jackie.
I'm going to give it a solid 4.
And John?
I won't be as generous. It's a 3 from me. There's good stuff, but I also think there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's quite long as well.
It's really over long. It could have been a good editor.
Yeah, 15 tracks. Okay, let's move on to album number 3. What did we say it starts? Sorry, 4 and 3, was it? Yes.
Yeah.
Move on to Belle and Sebastian. We listen to a track first, This Letter.
Honey, can I call you that in secret print? Words will never hurt you if the motive's clear. All I want for you is joy and peaceful love. Who you get it from is not my main concern.
All I want for you is joyful peace and love. That's what they tell us in that track.
I'm good on the
Bella Sebastian, this letter. Yeah. I suppose before we get into talking about the album, shall we explain? This is a soundtrack.
It's a soundtrack, yeah. Days of the Bagnold Summer, recently released and limited on
contain
a limited
yourself,
fashion.
Jackie Fox.
Yeah, indeed. Jackie has a lot of choice words ahead, I think. It's directed by Simon Bird of Inbetweeners fame. He was Will in Inbetweeners. And, you know, reading interviews with him, he is desperate to escape Inbetweeners and he's trying to do that with this movie.
I have Bell and Sebastian.
Hire Bell and Sebastian and hire Nick Cave's son Errol to play one of the lead parts in this. It's a kid and his mother and their beds. I was going to say beds in romance. they're strange relationship, I guess.
Okay. I'll put down that spade now and don't start
indeed,
digging.
Yeah.
So how would you describe the success? 25 years. Stop stinkering already, Jackie Fox. How would you describe the success that Bell and Sebastian have had over a quarter of a century?
You know, John said it earlier, it's like Marmite. You know, it's a band that you either attach to or you don't attach to. And I think we're on different sides here, myself and John, and people can probably guess which side I'm on. But, you know, they've been actually going against the grain a little bit for themselves over the past couple of years by releasing a trilogy of EPs and launching their own four-day music festival again. And then maybe this is the next step on going against the grain a wee bit by, you know, releasing a soundtrack to the album, to this film. So it's a coming of age story, you know, telling the story
the
of
film is, yeah.
Yeah, and the film is of this, you know, heavy metal loving teenager's holiday plans falling through last minute, and he has to spend the summer with the person who annoys him the most in the world, which is
his mother.
So there's a lot to play here. There's a lot of themes to work on: relationships, bonds, curiosity, the teenage years. And, you know, as we said, Simon Bird was a huge fan of Bell and Sebastian, and even asked them to revisit some of their past songs, you know, Get Me Away From Here, I'm Dying, from their second album, and redo that for this album, you know, the title.
And what did you think of that title, Get Me Away From Here, I'm Dying, Jackie? Did you identify with it?
you know what? In a film, you go through the rough and tumble of any film on this earth. That's the kind of the natural feelings that you experience and examining those emotions and relationships. But I didn't think it was possible to create a flat positivity and not without tapping into that emotion. I mean, according to the PR release, we have two tracks towards the end of the album that are supposed to be the uplifting moments, you know, like the end of the Breakfast Club, where you punch up in the air and you go, oh, I feel great after that feeling.
I feel elevated.
You're punching the sofa.
I was punching the sofa. I felt no inspiration. It didn't make me stand up straighter at the end of this day.
This is depressing. I think there's some wonderful moments on this album, and it works as an album in its own right. You don't need to see the movie.
The film, yeah. I agree with you on that. You don't need to be. I knew nothing about the movie and I still listened to the whole album.
I'm going to just put my hands up and say, I am a Bell and Sebastian fan. I like what they do. I know they can be terribly twee. They're very twee here, but there are some great songs. Sister Buddha is fantastic, absolutely great. Sarah Martin, who takes some of the vocals, she's got a lovely song, Another Day, Another Night. There's some lovely moments here.
But you not think it's a little bit limp? And
Let's listen to the song he says is lovely. It's a minute and a half. I think we've probably listened to all of it. Another Day, Another Night. A theatre director used to say, say that with a smile in your voice. Some people don't say things on air. Say it with a smile in your voice. There's a lot of smiling kind of and hands waving up in the air in this one. They're very happy, the pair of them.
They seem very happy, but I don't connect with that happiness that they're trying to project.
They're trying to force it on you, Jackie.
Yeah, maybe I'm just a really angry person. Who knows? But, you know, I think there is a lack of development and even creativity from them there. It doesn't offer much to be desired or even repeated. I'm sorry, John.
I would just like to disagree with all of that. I think this is...
on the record.
Absolutely. I think this is a really sweet, lovely album. If, for those people like me that love this band,
You really want
to hear this album.
Okay, my name is John Maher. I'm a Belen Sebastian fan.
And for people like Jackie Fox, Belen Sebastian will never work.
It won't.
Them.
Okay. And I admit that. I totally get that.
Stars
no,
from you,
like
John.
A very solid four.
A very solid four. And Jackie, a very spongy...
one and a half.
One and a half. A very spongy one and a half for Belen Sebastian, Days of the Band Old Summer. Charlie XCX and Pixies were the other two artists we were talking about, Beneath the Aryan, Charlie, the names of the two albums in question there. Jackie Fox and John Maher entertaining us over the past half hour.